The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're coming to you on Tuesday, April the 2nd. We're already in April. Go figure. Boy, the season just keeps moving along, and we're coming up the heels of a wonderful finish at the Dell Match Play in Austin. And beautiful scenery, and it was chilly. Guys had toques on. I like that. Whenever the guys have to play in bad conditions, somehow I feel better about it. And congratulations, Kevin Kisner. Now they stay in Texas, the PGA Tour does, to move a little bit further south into the Hill Country in San Antonio at the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio at the TPC San Antonio. We'll talk about that with our guest Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, here in just a few minutes. As always, Frank Bassett joining from the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing good. How are you, Tim?
I'm good. I'm good. Getting... You'll be heading to Augusta.
I'm sitting in the studio looking at three bags laying here open, trying to get packed. I'm heading out tomorrow, by the way, so I can be there for the Women's Amateur, the first annual at Augusta. So I'll be there for like a week and a half, a little over, and then straight to RBC. So be gone 2 or 3 weeks again on a little trek. But that'll be good. It'll be
on
fun.
You and Willie Nelson, speaking of Austin.
On the road again.
On the road again. Trying to find something, and well, good. That's going to be a good little trip, and you'll recharge your battery. You've been home for a while. Do you get? I'm curious, and so do all of our 13 million listeners. Do you get a little
4.8?
Like itchy to get out on the road?
I do. I get home. I've been home now almost 2 weeks, and I'm just going nuts. I'm ready to go. So yeah, I want to get back out there. So got to go, man. And Augusta's always the best to be in Augusta.
Yeah.
It's that time of the year,
and how can you not?
All the flowers are blooming, and all the sinus medicine's packed and ready to go. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. But I'll tell you, I've been tired though. 4 straight weeks on the road was pretty tough. I don't know how our buddy Earl Forsey does it with PGA Tour Radio. He's always doing something.
And all the boys that they cover all the golf tournaments, it's not Frank nearly as easy as people think it is. And
no,
Earl, we'll speak to that. Earl is a I don't even know 30-40 year veteran in Washington D.C. doing local radio there, and of course voice of PGA Tour Radio for the last several years. And he joins us now. Earl, how you doing today? How's D.C.?
D.C.'s great. Bryce Harper returned tonight, so that's what I'm going to be covering on the local today, It's about Bryce's return to D.C.
Uh-oh. Hey, did you boys see Twitter yesterday?
Did you see it? The way that played out?
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Thrilled that the, you know, NL MVP from 2015 went to a rival and is going to be there 13 years. Yeah, we're all really excited about it. All 40,000 tonight are going to line up and just give him a big hug. We're all really thrilled about that. Sure. Yeah.
Could be happier.
I mean, you know. They probably didn't want him as much as some others did. I mean, they made an effort to sign him, but didn't seem like a wholehearted effort, you know. So but you know, it's par for the course. Can't keep a quarterback healthy, can't keep an MVP in town. Star point guards out for a year and a half on the NBA team. You know, it's kind of the way it goes recently. The last,
another week with Earl.
25, 30 years or so.
I'm waiting for a gunshot in the background.
It's a suicide.
Hey, did y'all see Twitter yesterday? Tom Brady announced his retirement on Twitter.
Yeah, I did.
Shocking news.
Everybody was thrilled.
By the way, Earl. Earl, have you been on Twitter? I mean, do you do social media? I know you've been around for 100 years.
Absolutely,
do you do social media or not?
I live on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So how did he go this long without having a Twitter account?
You can't, because he's on other social media and he's Tom Brady. He doesn't need one. You can't do my job anymore without being on Twitter. I mean, most of my sports,
right?
If I'm doing updates, if I'm on the air, most of the stuff's coming off of Twitter.
You know, Earl doesn't follow us on Twitter. Do you follow us on Twitter, Earl, like Golf Talk America?
I'm not sure if I do or not. I don't know. Does anybody really pay attention to that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. Advertisers do.
I follow a lot of DC sports and other sports and do a lot of that on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm on the air talking 24 hours a week about golf. There's not much more I can add on Twitter about that. So.
Understood. Understood.
Hey, you know, Earl, I want to before we get into Valero, I wanted to ask you about the Dell match play. Is it, do you think, put your executive cap on here, if you're a radio, TV, PJ Tour executive, you roll the dice with that format, do you not? That you're hoping that the final is going to come down to Rory and Rose. It's going to come down to Tiger against DJ. And when it doesn't, is it disappointing? Is it, and you doing the call on it too, is it a different tournament when, and it seems like it plays out this way a lot of times, it's not necessarily the superstars, the guys that move the needle that are in the finals.
Yeah, but I mean, a tournament can come down to that too, you know, depending on who's in the field. And it comes down to, you know, maybe not the top guys at the end on Sunday. So, you know, I think probably that's, because it's head-to-head, it changes the dynamic from a normal golf week, a normal stroke play week to a match play week. But, you know, I think in the end, those guys, if folks are entertained by it and watch it throughout the week, the story develops of a guy like a Bjergård, you know, coming out of nowhere, or Kisner back again. Or so I think for the pure fan, it doesn't really make much of a difference. It would be nice to see, you know, Tiger and Phil, or, you know, but you don't get the look at the final four, you know. There's no Carolina. There's no Duke. It's sports. If you don't win, you don't advance. It's as simple as that. So I talked about this with the match play throughout the weekend, that really, if you look at the history since they went to the round robin format, it's been favorable to the top seeds. I mean, normally, you know, this event has been won by, you know, Kevin Sutherland, 62 seed. Jeff Ogilvy when he was a 52. But you look at, since they went round robin in 2015, McIlroy won as the number one seed, then Jason Day is the number two seed, then Dustin Johnson is the number one seed. Now, the last 2 years, it's been a big name. Bubba Watson was 35, and Kisner, you know, was 48. So those two last couple of years have kind of changed that. But it has certainly been, with the round robin play, more favorable to the at least for winners, to the top seeds, because before that, the only guy that's done it was Tiger three times. So, some people are going to like just single elimination. I think some players like it that way. You win, if you lose, you go home. That's the way match play should be. You get knocked out, fine. But we know why you can't. You know, it's more favorable not to do that, because at least, you know, you get, look, Kevin Kisner wouldn't have won the tournament if he would have been out day one. So to have that little bit of a mulligan, a second chance, and have round robin play and have guys play three times, and then set up the weekend for knockout stage, I don't mind it. And no, it doesn't change it, because you're calling, you know, it's sports. You're calling a race, and it doesn't matter who A and B is. You got a race, and that's what it is on the weekend. It's whoever's there. And because of the format and because of how interesting it is and different it is for the weekly, week-to-week tournaments on the PGA Tour, I think it's fine, you know, no matter who ends up there. But you're always going to have that, guys.
Well, I think the world tilted a little bit when Tiger missed that short putt. There was a big gasp across the world of golf, because everyone thought he was, you know, going into an extra hole.
Yeah.
And going up against that, you know, a fellow that basically was unknown or not very well known at all in the United States. But we did have an All-American final, so, you know, that was pretty cool for a change.
Look, you know, other sports.
I thought the guy's name was Bjergård.
Now, he was called that on the air by one of our on-air announcers, I think accidentally or tongue-in-cheek, but I've kept calling him that all weekend.
That's what I kept saying.
No, Tim, you were just thirsty. You were just thinking of beer.
I guess I was.
But look,
what do you think, Earl? It's kind of neat having a young guy like that, huh?
Yeah, the NBA survived without Jordan. You know, I mean, the Tiger thing, it was great to see him on the weekend, but I think, and I discussed this with Carney, Mark Carnevale was alongside all week, that when we got to the weekend, and it was great to see Evan Roy. I mean, you don't see that much, even in the match play. That's only eight times that a couple of number ones, former number ones, have met head-to-head. You may never see that again. I mean, as far as those two, yeah, that was the one. That may be your one opportunity ever to see those two guys, you know, outside a Ryder Cup or something, in a head-to-head situation like that. That's what's unique about the format. And it was going to be tough for him to win, to play seven matches, you know, in 5 days.
Wow.
That's a lot. I mean, for a guy who's pacing himself now and has to because of the back and everything else. So, that was always, I think, going to be a tough ask. Can he do it? Yeah, he's done it before three times. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. And it's just the subtleties of he kind of had control of that match late. And then Beauregard made that big putt, I think, at, what, 16 for the eagle. And,
yeah.
You know, kind of
yeah.
made it close, made it interesting at the end. And when those matches are all square, you know, one shot, one missed putt, one bad shot decides it. And that's what happened.
I don't know. Would you guys agree, though, that the play of Henrik Stenson was just not expected?
As far as making it to the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, but that was that group of death. You know, that was the major champions in that group. And he was the one that stepped up. You know, he was undefeated for the first 3 days.
He was playing out of his head.
Yeah, Phil didn't really have much, you know, this week in that format. And it was kind of... It was between him and Furyk, you know. I mean, Furyk has got this great run going, you know, ever since the Players. You know, it's kind of was last minute into the Players and then almost won that. And because he finished second there, he got into this because of the ranking. I mean, it's one heck of a run.
Yeah, it is.
For him. And then Beauregard beat Stenson and Tiger back-to-back on Saturday. So, you know, he kind of earned it at that point.
Yeah, well, he did.
A couple of... You know, the game's best players and two former champions of that event, two former FedEx Cup champions in that case, two of the best in the world. Yeah, you know, Stenson, he has that ability because when he's on his game, it's so consistent and so good that he kind of rises to certain occasions and he pops up and down, up and, you know, side. That doesn't surprise me in a format like this and kind of in that group that everybody was looking at there that he kind of rose and, you know, won all those matches to get into the weekend.
We're talking with Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, and great calls and action that we all saw at the Dell Match Play Championship in Austin. Now they're in San Antonio getting ready this week for the Valero Texas Open, Earl, and it's preceding the Masters. Now, of course, Houston, and I'm curious what you think too, Frank, because we've talked a lot of times in the last several years about how Houston was set up to mirror Augusta as much as possible, and a lot of the guys would like to play there to get ready for the conditions at Augusta. It's not the case, at least this year, where you've got Valero, not anything really similar at all to the Masters. Does that affect the mindset, Frank, do you think, for some of these players, whether they were going to play or not play? Is it about the course they wanted to play in Houston, or was it they just... Some guys choose to warm up, if you will, for the Masters by playing the week before or not playing the week before. Does it matter?
Yeah.
The course they're playing on?
I'm really interested in what Earl has to say about this. My opinion, in short, is that I think it's a relief in a way. It's kind of a break that they don't have. The course is not like Augusta National, unlike Houston. So they don't have to play. They felt compelled to play, I think, just to get ready for Augusta. Now they can go practice at Augusta for the big boys who don't play in the Valero. I say the big boys. The fellas who don't play at Valero are going to go to Augusta and practice. So I don't know how much practice they can get in, though, because there's going to be a tournament there starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that's going to make a change, too. So maybe there won't be as much preparation this year at Augusta for Augusta and at Augusta as usual. I don't know. Yeah. Earl, what do you think?
Do you ever see much week-to-week momentum on – and it's kind of game that you don't. I mean, I personally think it was interesting, and I think a lot of guys embraced the fact that the setup the week before was you know, like the Masters in Houston. But for the most part, I think guys who are going to play are going to play. There's certain guys that like to play the week before, play their way into it. And it's like guys that like to have the week off and head down to Augusta early and see the course and do all that. I don't think that matters too much. I think personally for me, I think, you know, there's the Texas swing now is kind of, it's broken up and you're there for a couple of weeks in this case, and then back later on. But
yeah,
San Antonio is a great place. You know, just personally, just for the non-golf aspect of it, it's a great town, great food, great people. Great
love that place.
So that's not a bad little, you know, Hilton Head is always kind of the detox after the pressure of the Masters. I think, you know, San Antonio is a little bit of that too before it. It's a different vibe. And, you know, and I don't see any issues as far as I think guys who are going to play, you know. There's certain ones that no matter what you did, you know, if you put the U.S. Open the week before the Masters, there's some guys that wouldn't play the U.S. Open. You know what I mean? I don't think it matters too much in the end as far as that goes. Maybe from the players' aspect, you know, a little bit of prep or like similar conditions. Maybe, but, you know, I can't speak for that. I think they're just separate. I think we see week to week, it's just separate kind of one-offs, depending on where you are, what the conditions are, what the weather is. It's kind of a week-to-week deal.
I think there's a little country club that butts up against the back of Augusta National that there'll be a lot of practice on. I think that Augusta Country Club is going to have a lot of players over there, and I think that's probably why, Tim, we discussed pre-show why their greens fee per man is $2,500.
You know, and let's face
Earl,
opposed to the other majors, you know what you're getting every year at Augusta. It's the same. I mean, except for that, they do make changes. But there's no surprises when you show up at Augusta National. If you've been in that tournament before, you know pretty much. I mean, and again, I know they've tweaked it and changed it over the years. But for the most part, these guys know exactly how every hole is going to play, exactly what the greens are going to roll like, exactly where to miss, exactly where to be. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's that kind of week where it's a level playing field for the most part as far as that goes.
We're talking with Earl Forsey, voice of PGA Tour Radio, and I think that the Masters in a couple of weeks, I think you're right, Earl, about that. I think guys play or they don't play. And where that might be the week before is just up to the tour, and it does change enough that they probably don't get committed one way or the other. But they either like the warm-up or they like going on their own and working with their coach, which brings me to a guy who needs to be working with his coach continuously before the Masters. He's down in San Antonio. That would be Jordan Spieth. And if you look at PGA Tour .com and it's got the power rankings, which they post every week, who the experts think will be a contender for that week. Normally, if Jordan Spieth's in a tournament, of the 15 guys or so that they list in there, Spieth's going to be there. And he's not. He's falling and falling and falling. Did not play particularly well. Had a decent one match in Austin, which is his backyard. Went to college there and everything else. Certainly a comfort feeling. What do you feel about the free fall, if you will, that Jordan Spieth seems to be in, Earl?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and Carney, when we were tracking matches early in the week, he kind of said the same thing. It's a head scratcher. It's not, you know, I know he felt kind of maybe he turned a corner at the Players' Championship, even though it was a disappointing week for him. Well, we haven't seen that, right? You don't know, though. The match play is such a different deal. Who knows? And we've seen time and time again, players struggle or there's not much going on and they get back to a place where they've had success before. And I know, you know, some of that success has been tempered for him at Augusta too, but you show up at a place and the switch does flip. But I think for him, there's a lot going on as far as the putting numbers, for him are obviously down and have been for a couple of years. But there's much more to it than that. You know, I think there's just, you see that with a lot of players when you have an issue with one thing that's a huge strength of yours and it's not, maybe it sneaks into the other aspects of your game. You're trying to make up for it somewhere else. But for him, there was no doubt those putting numbers were down last year and they stayed down. And this year, it's kind of the same thing. It's a guy that, you know, made everything when he was, you know, rising pretty quickly to the top. I mean, it was chipping in everything or making every putt. And when that doesn't happen, then where do you make up for it? You know, and that's, I think, kind of where he is right now. You either get that back or you have to try to find something else with short game or better driving or something to put you in better positions. And I don't know right now. I couldn't give you a firm answer. I just gave you a roundabout. Who knows? But I think maybe seemingly that's where he is right now. Doesn't it appear that he can't figure out what needs to be fixed to turn it around.
It's certainly frustrating. It's for all of us that watch him and like him so much as a person, too. It's very frustrating to see what he's going through. But you're absolutely right, Earl. And Tim, I know you'll agree with this. The putting went away. Well, that was his strength. So now it spills over into every other aspect of the game. So now you're trying to get a closer proximity to the hole because you're not making the 20 or 25 footers. So now you're pressing on that aspect of your game. When that doesn't work, it's spilling over onto the tee box. And now it's just a free-for-all until you can stop the bleeding somehow, some way. And I'm sure he's working with Cameron McCormick a lot to try to make that happen.
And here's the other thing you can't do. And he was making, for a while, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, everything inside 20 feet. I mean, he's just making everything for the most part. And now those aren't going in, and it's the ones that are 5 and 6 feet. You know, there's a lot of misses there where you need that putt to make a par or to avoid a double or to make a big birdie to kind of kickstart things. And those aren't going in. And that adds to the frustration.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for him.
Well, you know what's also interesting is you talked about going to Augusta, a place he's familiar with and has had a lot of success there. He's still one of the favorites. I say one of the favorites. He's right up there with Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler, John Rahm. He's ahead of Bryson DeChambeau, Molinari, Jason Day, Bubba in the odds. I don't know how you put those odds on him, although he might find magic in a bottle when he gets there. If you just look at his record over last year, I don't even know he'd have any money on him because I can't imagine anybody putting money on and bettors thinking that Jordan Spieth is going to have it. But he does have a mindset about Augusta.
But look at his record at Augusta, Tim. Look at his record at Augusta.
Sure, I know.
It's better than all the others.
Based on, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he's got to do something to kind of change that mindset because it is.
And this is a time of year. Look, there was, and that's where the new schedule comes in because now you better be consistent. There was a time where, and certain guys I think we found throughout the years, and this goes way back in golf to guys, going back to Nicklaus and Trevino. Certain guys play well at Augusta. Certain guys kind of don't. Okay, so that was always. But then you had kind of a long break to get it together before the U.S. Open and then those two late majors, the you Open and the PGA. That's not the case anymore.
No,
we had the Players. No. You have 3 weeks, and then you got the Masters. Then you got 4 weeks in the PGA. Then 3 weeks in the U.S. Open. 4 more weeks in the Open Championship. And then there's another World Golf Championships event, the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, 2 weeks after that Open. And then just another week until the playoffs begin. So
it's a gauntlet. It's just a gauntlet
schedule,
now.
Yep. There's no place in this schedule once we get really early February when you get through the Mexico Championship, the first of the yearly, it's the second World Golf Championships, but the first one of the calendar year. It's that 4 weeks Players, and then that whole thing begins. 2 weeks match play, 2 weeks Masters. It's the schedule doesn't give you that break, that breather. Where do you figure it out? Where do you take a breath? And because of that, too, some of the guys that maybe aren't in some of these tournaments, I mean, your time is short now. I mean, you don't have much time to get yourself in the PGA. That's where this new whole schedule and guys change. And we've seen guys playing events that they haven't played before. And it's been part of why Rory McIlroy, that quick start that he got off to before last week, had moved in front in the FedEx point standings. So this is all new to even the Players. Kind of how do you figure it out? Where do you figure it out? Because there's no time to take a breath anymore, really, with this schedule.
And the courses that we run the gauntlet with of majors, there no two are alike whatsoever. So it's going to be an interesting year, I think, guys. It's going to be tough on the Players, and you're right. No breath. No breath at all.
Hey, Earl, we obviously talk a lot of golf with you and in the time we get with you, which we're always appreciative of, but we have to, without letting you go, talk a little bit of some other sports. Baseball just kicking off. Probably too early. I don't know if the Nationals have played at home. I'm saying in the weather-wise, Frank. I mean, they're getting earlier, not late March, right? And they're playing, and games are getting postponed
chilly
in Kansas City because they had snow flurries. they're playing baseball in 25 degrees. Two questions, Earl. How are the Nationals looking for this year without the Bryce Man? And are they moving baseball up too early? I mean, they're postponing more games than they seem to be getting in when they play this early.
Yeah, it is. It's too early. Places like here now, it was, you know, the early, even if it was early openers, they do it in warm weather places or better chance for weather places. You know, it's here. It's in D.C. It was in Philadelphia. The weather was not bad in D.C. over the weekend. It's really probably as mild as it's been. We've had been basically become Seattle the last 6 to 8 months. It's been miserable in D.C. But so that's okay. How are they looking? Who knows? You know, I mean, you don't normally let generational players, and you can argue that is Bryce Harper really one? Certainly Mike Trout is in L.A. We saw what they locked him up pretty quick after the Harper deal got done. Usually you don't let those guys go or allow them to leave at that stage in his career. We'll find out. 13 years is a long time. You can make the case, too, that, you know, aside from the MVP year, and you can't, and it's hard to say, aside from being an MVP, what have you done? But that's kind of what people around here are saying. Look, they've got a young guy that emerged last year, this kid Juan Soto, that's only 22, that picked up the slack. He's a heck of a hitter and a young guy and costs a lot less money. And you pay $30 million a year or whatever it ended up being for him, 28 for an outfielder, or do you go and stock up in pitching? And that's what they did when they signed Patrick Corbin in the offseason to go with Scherzer and Strasburg. And it's based on pitching. It's all about bullpens in baseball. And the Nats were three. I know it's only three games against the Mets, but they blew three leads in essence. So not a good start for a remade bullpen. And it's really early. And who knows really at this point, it's just it's interesting here because there's a lot of in this game today with Harper coming back. I mean, cause he didn't sign until what, like 4 weeks ago. So there was always this vibe like, oh, it's taken a long time. We kind of had feel if nobody else is signing Harper, it's going to be good for the Nats, right? Probably ends up back here. So this is weird. It's not like he signed traditionally during the winter meetings a few months ago and people have had their, you know, their chance to kind of wrap their arms around it. It's, you know, like your spouse left you and they're showing up, you know, 2 weeks later at the party with the new person on their arm. There's that aspect,
ouch,
you know,
ouch.
People haven't gotten over him not being here yet. And the second series of the year, I mean, he's here, he's back in this town and wearing the same kind of uniform. It's red and white, you know, and people in this town, there's no love lost for Philly, anything in this town, you know, in the loud mouths on Philadelphia radio have already been, you know, billowing about how bad DC is and how bad sports fans are in DC and what a bunch of morons that DC sports fans are. So, you know,
they said that they called them morons.
Oh
great.
That's a compliment.
Oh yeah. It's, but, oh God.
You know, so what do we do? Like our morning guys had that guy on today. So that's what you do.
Yeah, yeah. Get on. Get him on
it's,
there.
It's fun. That's what we do. You know, so it's too early for that. Look, April means a lot of things for a lot of people. I know folks are ready for the Masters and everything. April to me means we're 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and that's still story number one.
Whoa. Stop it right there. Stop it.
The NHL playoffs start, you know, in a couple of weeks.
Hold the phone, boys.
Quarter of the Caps.
Hold the phone.
It's about the draft.
Okay. The draft is here in Nashville, boys. And guess what is all over the news in Nashville? The fact that our cherry blossom trees, 22 of them along.
You're cutting them down.
This town is in an uproar. I mean, there could be dying children in hospitals, and this town wouldn't care about that right now. And I know that sounds crass, but those damn cherry trees, oh my God, it's like people are protesting because they want to build the stage for the NFL draft right there, and that's where it's supposed to be. So get rid of the trees. Well, they're blooming. Everybody's down there taking pictures, models all over the place, magazines, everything. Come on. So now they're going to transplant them. Now you tell me you can dig up a tree, a full-grown tree, when it's blooming, okay, the cherry blossoms are on it, and pull it up and save it and put it back in after the NFL draft. So the NFL draft's getting a black eye here in Nashville right now, and all the city leaders are getting nailed about this NFL draft, Earl. I mean, they're just going nuts.
From the horticulturists.
Wanting to throw them out, saying they're more about the NFL than they are about the city and the beauty of this city and the life, quality
probably,
of life in Nashville. So,
well, of course they are. And the answer is, of course they are. It's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
You want the honest answer? Of course.
Yeah.
They are.
It's a mess. Yeah. Guys, I'm telling you, it's crazy.
Plain and simple. I mean, it's what.
Wow.
It's, you know. Earl, it's the big boy amongst the big ones, and it still controls in sports. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody else thinks. It's
You're
not
right.
even close.
You're absolutely right.
Earl, were the Cleveland Browns going undefeated this year? Because that's what they're talking like.
No.
No.
Cleveland Browns, 16-0.
No way.
It's one thing to be bad and have no expectations. It's one thing to have the expectations now and not have proven anything yet. We've seen that turn out poorly before for a lot of teams. So, yeah, they made all those moves. We'll see. Still got to play the games.
Yeah. Let me tell you, that happens. I'll streak the 18th green during the trophy presentation ceremony at TPC Sawgrass next year.
Being an above 500 team, 9 wins would be a huge step for that team. And making the playoffs would be a larger step. To just do it in 1 year, we'll find out. Everybody's in love with them and all the moves they've made. They'll hate them by midseason if it doesn't work out. So
yeah, if they start
just like everybody around here hates everything the Redskins do now because it doesn't turn out. But you know, everybody's in love with Cleveland Browns, a little team that could now.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of big teams that can around them that are going to try to prevent that. So
yeah, not going to happen.
Interesting storyline, but you know, they're not America's team yet. Let me put it that way.
Well, it's got to wait. Got to wait.
The Odell Beckham deal, though. I mean,
I know. Got him out of your.
Yeah.
I'm happy about
your,
it. Here
your division.
I have no idea how you trade a guy. I mean, I don't know what that's about. Nobody can figure that out here. You know, the Redskins are trying to be good and they're bad. The Giants are just trying to be irrelevant and bad. It's amazing. I don't know how you
it's
make that
mess.
Deal. I mean. But we've seen it a lot now in the NFL. All these, you know, I mean, Amari Cooper gets traded and Odell Beckham gets traded. I mean, it's crazy it never used to be that way in the NFL. And that's why the NFL now is the NFL offseason is better than the baseball offseason now. Who ever thought that would be the case? Nothing happened in the baseball offseason. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were free agents, and at the owners' meetings, they didn't get a whiff.
Yeah.
But football offseason hits. And, you know, everybody but Tom Brady got dealt this offseason. It's crazy how that's come about. That's, you know, I live for that. I was on the air 11 hours the day. So, like, you know, a normal golf round for me. But in D.C., I was on the air 11 hours the first day of, quote, free agency. It's the first day it wasn't, but it's 2 days before and now everything happens. Because they can start talking to players, which they've already talked to and gotten deals. But I was from noon to 11 all day, and it was great. It was just breaking in every 45 minutes with something new, and you know it's fantastic. I love that. So that's coming up, and it looks like Kyler Murray is not going to slip out of the top 15 or 10, whatever you said that was going to happen, right?
Yeah. I did say that, and I still am holding to the fact that he will not be a transfer. I'm not saying he won't get drafted there because every year, you know as well as I do, the hype way overshoots the expectation. Josh Rosen.
Except for the quarterbacks. Usually it's the opposite. As highly hyped as they are, it's even more so on draft night. I mean, because you're going to have six teams that want them that would do anything to get them.
Yeah.
And if somebody passes on them, there's going to be – 4 teams clamored all over themselves to get on the phone with the Jets to move up to 3 or the Niners to move up to 2 or something like that. So
we'll
I don't know
what
if it's
happens.
The right thing, but I'm telling you, it is going to be the thing. That's what's going
to
happen.
Well, Earl, you've got a place to stay if you want to come for the NFL draft and stay right here at the house.
Yeah, so, I would love to, I think. Let's see. What's that week? It's we got golf. So
yeah,
we
got
I'll
golf.
Somewhere else.
Somewhere.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Would love to. It's going to be fun. I have a lot of people looking forward to that.
It's a big deal in this town. I mean, it's as big as the Country Music Awards.
I think it's moving that around now. I think it's awesome that they're moving that around.
That
and
is cool.
Look, I know there are people and sports fans that are like, how can you be into the NFL draft? Because in essence, it is a sporting event that's broadcast for 3 consecutive days where nothing happens. All that goes on is people read names every 5 or 10 minutes. But it's fascinating to me. I mean, I know
stuff.
That's what it is. I fully embrace the fact that there's nothing going on. And to me, it's so fascinating and so much fun because, you know, everybody's involved. And it's that everybody's got hope after it for one reason or another. And it kind of kicks things off on a kind of a downtime, you know, really, you know, late April, early spring. So
there'll be,
yeah, I'm ready for it. Ready for that in hockey playoffs. So
there'll be massive horticulturists here in Nashville protesting. During the entire NFL draft.
That's the storyline of the NFL draft.
Oh, my God.
Trees cut
down. There's always something going on.
Oh, God.
Always something. Errol, we thank you so much, as always, for being with us. We'll talk to you again because the draft is coming up. And so when that happens or just after, we'll have to talk to you and let's see how it all plays out because that is, as you said, some of the best drama in sports all year, even if it's during golf season and everything else happening. The NFL draft is huge, and you're all into it. So we'll have you on again.
And it's, you know, the week leading up to it, too, because that's when all the deals are going to happen. So I'll be here. You know where to find me.
Cool.
We do. Okay. Hey, have a good week. We'll be listening this week.
Okay.
See you, pal.
Bye.
Thank you, Earl. Earl Forsey, PGA Tour Radio. Yeah, listen to him this week with the boys as they do the coverage for the Valero Texas Open down at the TPC San Antonio. So
that's a great golf course, by the way. That is a great golf course there.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
It's a fun course. San Antonio, Earl said it. San Antonio is a blast.
It is a good city. Yeah,
it's, oh, my gosh. What a great place.
And have a great time. We were just, when my brother was in town, and we went down.
You went to Austin,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with my brother and his wife, and me and my wife, and we stayed out at a ranch. We didn't go to the Dell Technology match play.
Say it right.
We were tempted, and we were thinking about it. Yeah, say it right. But we were all around there. We played some golf down there. Hill Country, which is basically outside of Austin and San Antonio within a, you know,
beautiful place.
80 square miles or something. Just beautiful, kind of rolling terrain with, you know, it's hard not to have a beautiful golf course. You watched it on TV, and that one, of course, is right along the Colorado River.
There.
Austin Country Club, but all the other ones still around there. You could have spend $10 and have a great,
There are some Club Corp properties around Austin and San Antonio also. I don't know if you partook, but there's also, did you?
Hills of Lakeway. Hills of Lakeway. Very nice.
That's
course.
A Club Corp.
Loved it.
Yeah. Yep. Because you're a member at Brookhaven, then you are also a member at all the Club Corp properties, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I'm going to be doing that in Augusta.
I'm at Prestonwood.
You're at Prestonwood. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Brookhaven's another one here in Dallas. But yeah. Okay. And so when you are a member, that's one of the perks of being with Club Corp. You get, I think what I ended up paying was a cart fee, Frank, was all it was. I went to Hills of Lakeway. It was like $12. I mean, I'm sorry, $25.
Yeah.
To play there.
That's it.
At a private club. Yeah.
Isn't that great? Very nice. The food's always good. The service is fabulous. And of course, I'm a member of Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club here. And I just found out, got an email from our pro last night that for the next 2 weeks, our fairways are coming in right now. So for the next 2 weeks, we're a cart path only, you know, to let the fairways come in. And you know, if you pack the ground down, then the roots don't get enough oxygen and the grass won't grow. There you go. It's cart path only for the next 2 weeks. Guess where I'll be? Out of town. So I don't have
perfect
to
timing.
Walk. Perfect timing. I hate cart path
back.
Only.
Just in time to get back in your cart.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Club Corp's great, and we appreciate them being a great sponsor of this show. I mean, they're the best. And there's some stuff I'm going to partake in. Kinderloo in Valdosta, Georgia, is another one, too, that I've played some. They used to have a web.com event there, and all the players who've played it have said Kinderloo Forest, which is Club Corp, and Valdosta, Georgia, is one of the toughest golf courses in the country. I've played it. I agree. It's hard.
Really?
It's long, it's hard, yeah. But it's beautiful, so it's fun to play. Just move up to the tees that are appropriate for your play, and just go from there. So
very nice.
Yeah,
very
man.
Nice.
So
all right, well.
So anyway, I'm packing today and getting ready to head to Augusta, Georgia. Don't mean to slight the tournament in San Antonio whatsoever, because it is a great event and a great tournament. But
Did you think you slighted it?
Well, we haven't talked about it enough, but week before the Masters. I mean,
Which, by the way, is we talked about this a lot, is the positioning of tournaments and who gets top players and who doesn't, and that's a real challenge for every tournament, Valero notwithstanding. But this year, it's right before the Masters. The Byron Nelson has moved to right before the PGA Championship. Yeah. And so you do ask yourself, it's kind of a give or take, right? That there's pluses and minuses because there are some guys that will an actual tournament competition before a major. There are others that don't. So where you fall in the schedule, which is a bit of a thrown a dart at a board because it moves around and year after year it's a little bit different, it does matter to some of the players. So you might get some better players than you normally might if you weren't in that position. Then again, you might have guys that are saying, you know what, I don't play before the Masters.
Well, the PGA Tour has set requirements for their players that you have to play so many tournaments, and if you haven't played it in so many years, you must go back and play that event. So they've balanced it out with the rules and regulations, I think, where you'll get the players, you know, rotating through the tournament. So they've done it right. I mean, they know what they're doing. So
yeah, I think it's you know, like I said, it's just very, very competitive, which I think is probably a good thing. And for the PGA Tour, it makes every tournament, which are kind of separate entities, very competitive. They're also they do everything they can. You and I have been to a bunch of tournaments. They treat the players better than royalty going to the White House. I mean, it's amazing how well they get treated. And that's a good thing because they want to make a good impression. They want you to come back. They want you to tell your friends to bring your other PGA Tour players here. So I think it all works out the way that it probably should work out. But it is very competitive. It's a tough thing to try to get the top field at your tournament week or year after year.
Yeah, they treat the media extremely well, too. And we get to eat player dining at certain tournaments, which is really good. Sure. And media dining is fabulous. But, you know, everything to me is a letdown after the Players' Championship. It's just, you know, that's the high point of my year. And
so you got about like 9 more, 10 more months of depression now?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, the Players' Championship was so much fun this year, moving back to March and going over to my old country club, Marsh Landing, too, and Sawgrass, and seeing everybody. And ran into, I think I said it on the air before, got to say it again, Sterling. Buddy, I love you. Sterling has worked at Marsh Landing Country Club since the day I joined it, is the day it opened. And, boy, it was great seeing him, you know, to see the old guard there in Ponte Vedra in Jacksonville. But we'll see the old guard in Augusta coming up this week. Yep. All our friends from Azalea House, AzaleaHospitality.com. Our friends from French Lick, Brendan Sweeney, will be joining me from the French Lick Resort. And then we're going to turn around and do a TV show, by the way, for our listeners, with Mark Zucchino in French Lick. And that's the end of May. So that may be a time, Tim, that you need to come up to French Lick. Just come up for the 4 days, 3 or 4 days with us, and we'll film Golf Talk Canada, along with doing some Golf Talk America hits, and the French Lick Resorts, our host. So that'd be
very
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
And we can take Zucchino's money. That would be nice. Get into Marky's back pocket. He's also a scratch golfer, so you got to watch him. He's pretty good.
Oh, well,
yeah, he's
a tougher. Yeah,
not with my 23 handicap, it doesn't.
Oh, good point. Yeah, getting the strokes.
Yeah,
you could be
pull that off.
Yeah,
no kidding. Anyway, well, it's good to be back on the air, and good to have you back again, buddy.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So, and you'll be on with us at Augusta, right?
Yes.
Okay,
I will be. I'll be holding down the fort while you guys are out playing, as always.
Okay, well, we'll think about you.
We are done for another show. We do appreciate and love each and every one of you for listening to our show right here, and continue to do so. We appreciate it, and we talk about it all the time. We don't do this just for ourselves. We have a lot of fun, but we do it because we want to try to inform and entertain you guys out there. So thanks so much for tuning in and listening to us. Thanks to Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, and for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks once again for listening, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.